I love troubleshooting server issues. Said no e-commerce entrepreneur ever. And that's why I'm personally migrating my stores to Shopify. Since Shopify is a hosted service, I can worry about growing my business versus troubleshooting problems. Like a Magento problem I had that logged every single customer interaction and brought my site to a standstill. I wouldn't have wasted a day troubleshooting that on Shopify. And compared to other hosted carts, Shopify has the largest ecosystem of developers and apps and the best architected design framework. Officially retire as a system admin, Shopify.com. Welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, your headquarters for building a six-figure plus e-commerce business. I'm your host, e-commerce entrepreneur, and Jeff Bezos wannabe, Andrew Ederian. Hey guys, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about running multiple businesses, and specifically if and how you should have more than one venture. And joining me is a man who's supremely qualified to speak on this matter, given the fact that he runs, I think, 4+ e-commerce stores, a SaaS app that he recently launched, and who knows what other secret clandestine ventures he's keeping under wrap from all of us, Mr. Bill D'Alessandro.
It's just the drug dealing I don't tell you
just
about.
Just the drug. Okay, nice. Because then, of course, the podcast wouldn't work out so well.
Right.
So we're going to get into that in just a minute. But quickly off the top, of course, got to do a first sale shout out. And this one's going out to Mark from Bert and Gert.London. The .London, I think it's the first time I've seen that for a top-level domain extension. That's cool. And Mark says, "Hi, Andrew. Just wanted to tell you we got our first sale for an engagement ring at £1,500, which is almost, roughly 3K, a little shy of 3K US, and we're based in London. The site is run by my wife-to-be, and I make the jewelry by hand. We specialize in helping men to find girls the perfect engagement ring within their budget and in a style that would suit her. Thanks for the podcast. It's definitely been a help, and I listen to it when I'm making the product." So, Mark, awesome, man. That's really cool. 3K for sale, that's not a bad level for your first one, and the website and the jewelry looks really nice. I like the value add too, custom jewelry and helping guys pick wedding bands. Bill, I know you're not married, but man, when I walked into a store to pick out a ring for my wife to be, I had no idea.
I'm sure.
I think that's like, it'd be interesting to get somebody on the line and just get pictures of guys walking into jewelry stores with the deer in the headlight look. So it sounds like
clutching their wallets.
Yeah, clutching for dear life, clutching their wallets. So Mark, best of luck, man, and looking forward to seeing how you guys do. All right, let's go ahead and dive into today's discussion about running multiple businesses. So chatting about running a couple different businesses or multiple ones even at that, and this is something that, Bill, I'm excited to talk to you about because one, you've got a ton of experience with it, and also I think it's, people have some pretty conflicting and powerful viewpoints on this. Some people think you can actually manage it. Other people think it's just kind of, you can't really do anything really meaningful if you're trying to juggle too much. So this will be fun and kind of have 6 points I want to go through here in terms of it and get your thoughts on. And I don't know, let me know what you think about this, Bill, but the first thing I think of is the biggest misconception that people have when you're trying to juggle multiple ventures is that 2+2 does not equal 4, right? Mathematically, of course it does. But in terms of juggling different things, like 2+2 equals 3 if you're lucky when it comes to focus and results, just because you have so much, you have a little bit of overhead maybe in a business that can serve double duty for your multiple ventures, but you have a huge amount of kind of, I guess, switching, task switching expense that you have to pay in terms of how much you can focus on something, how much mental energy you can give it. And it's just, I think people think, hey, if I have 3 ventures or if I have 2 ventures, I can spend 4 hours a day on each equally, but it doesn't work out like that. Have you found that?
Yeah, it really doesn't. There's the best way I have to illustrate this is if anyone listening ever reads Paul Graham, who writes essays about startups, he's one of the founders of Y Combinator, has invested in hundreds and hundreds of startups, and he writes essays. If you just search for Paul Graham, you'll find him online. And he has this essay called The Top Idea in Your Mind. And it basically, his hypothesis is that at any one time, the human brain is really only capable of holding one kind of big long-term idea that you're working on. And this, he calls this the top idea in your mind. And, if you're running one business, this should be your business. And he said, this is the top idea in your mind is the type of thing that you have epiphanies about in the shower. It's the type of thing you're thinking about when you're not thinking about it. If you're trying to divide your focus among multiple things, he hypothesized that you sort of lose that subconscious noodling that you're kind of doing all the time when you're not thinking about it. And I found that to be really true. And I think it's also a good test for yourself. If you're trying to do multiple businesses, there is still going to be one of them that you are having those shower epiphanies about. And that's probably the one that you should be focusing on.
Yeah, good point. Even if you're juggling, I do that too. I think about all the stuff I've got going on and almost inevitably it comes back to one thing, which is, yep. is your subconscious telling you to niche down and stop doing so much stuff. I heard a quote once that great men or women are described in like one, you know, one phrase, like Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves. Historians don't kill me. There's, you know, you could make all sorts of arguments there, but you get the point. And I think that's really true. Like you try to do too many things and you can do a lot of little things, but you just, there's so much momentum you can build and just focusing. I think about like the times I've been most productive in my life and like starting my first business right out of my job, just focusing and working like a banshee for 18 months and focusing on nothing else. I wasn't trying to podcast, wasn't trying to run multiple businesses. I got so much done with that just laser focus intensity that I don't know if I'll ever get back there. I hope I do, but I think it's powerful.
It is. I think so too. And there's and like you mentioned earlier, switching costs are real. There's Microsoft did a study to see like about like interruptions in the workday, and they figured out that people were doing a task and they interrupted them, you know, with an email or whatever it happened to be. And it was like something like 40 or 50% of the people never went back to the original task at all.
Oh yeah. Like think about when you're at your computer and you're working on something, like you're being really productive. And then 15 minutes later, you're reading some article about the Great Barrier Reef in Australia. And you just think, how did I get here? And you can turn, right. You know, you think back and it's this crazy, it almost always starts with a distraction. And then before long, you're just on another rabbit trail. It's terrible. Mm-hmm. So moving on, point number two, don't start business number two. If you are going to start a second business, if you have to start it, don't start business number two before you can live off of business number one. I think it's, you know, I'll get emails from people who say, hey, I just started an e-commerce business and it's kind of going slowly. So I'm going to start like two or three or four more to hedge my bets. And I understand where those people are coming from. Cause when I was starting, the traction wasn't going as quickly as I'd hoped. That's the exact same temptation I had, because the business you haven't started that's going to be wildly successful is almost always more attractive than the one that you're working on right now. But it's almost always a bad idea to do that. So I don't know, Bill, thoughts?
I totally agree with that. I run into people, I do some private coaching and stuff, that are like, oh yeah, I've got these three websites. And I'm like, how much revenue do they each have? And they're like, well, you know, I've made like one sale per month on each. And I'm like, dude, you got to kill these other two and focus on one. You've got to get one to a point where it is successful by any definition before you start, you know, trying to divide your focus.
Oh, because it's so hard to get one to that level.
If right, it's so hard.
Yeah, it's just, so, you know, if not to squelch anyone's dreams for a huge portfolio, but build them systematically, which guys into the next point, I think. Well, point number three, systemize your first business. So once you have that business up and running, once you can live on it, you know, provides kind of your basic subsistence at a basic level, systemize that business before you even think about starting business number two. If you're a guy named like Bill, you can systemize it through programming and through API calls. If you're like me, you can do it through ghetto processes and team members and Google Docs. But you got to get it systemized, because once you do, it's so much easier to move on and start focusing on a second venture if most of the day-to-day for that first one are taken care of.
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, if you're the guy that's got to be processing the orders for three businesses, you're not getting any synergies. You know, you start a new business and you've just literally doubled your workload. The idea is that if you are running multiple businesses, you need to get some time synergies. I mean, financial synergies are great too, but you really need to get some time synergies, you know, so that you only have to process, you know, if all the orders end up in one place for all three, so you can process all the orders at once, or all the accounting is unified, or you know what I'm talking about. You really got to get some time synergies. Otherwise, you're just doubling and tripling your workload, and that's just not sustainable. And I think there's really kind of two things. I think there's two bits to every business that you need to think about automating or systematizing. And there's sort of the everyday, what needs to be done to keep this business at status quo, what needs to be done to keep the orders going out and the money coming in. And that stuff is relatively easy to systemize through software. relatively easy compared to the next part. And that is, I think, table stakes. You've got to always be pushing to automate that stuff, especially if you're running multiple businesses, automate or outsource. But then kind of the next, I think, like the higher order business function that there is the moving the business forward. You know, as the CEO, you are responsible. You're the only one responsible for taking the business to the next level, driving it forward, knocking things off your to-do list. And as you get more and more businesses, you get more and more to-do lists. And that's the part that gets really hard to systematize. And I don't know of a way to do that with code. I think the only way to do it is with people. And if you look at, you know, kind of some of the legendary entrepreneurs who run multiple businesses, you know, Jack Dorsey with Twitter and Square, Elon Musk, you know, with Tesla and SpaceX and all the other things that he's involved with, the only way that they're able to do it is that they have been able to take some of the strategic growing the business things and allocate them to excellent managers in each business. You got to be cognizant that that stuff gets very hard to outsource and systematize until you're able to afford very good people who you trust.
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. And one thing, I'm kind of a little rabbit trail here, but you mentioned Elon Musk and these other guys that have these great businesses. But fundamentally, I think, you know, Bill, yourself, myself, a lot of people who are listening, they've got, you know, businesses or e-commerce stores and, you know, maybe six, you know, maybe low seven, or maybe even a handful of, you know, low eight-figure businesses. And maybe not so much in the eight-figure, but six-figure and low seven, it's hard to, I'm going to say it's really difficult to be able to grow your business if you're not the one driving that forward. Because once you get bigger, if you have venture capital, or maybe you just have a larger business with a larger revenue base and you can afford to invest in more people, yeah, you can hire just drop down dead killer sales execs and people who have tons of experience doing that. But I think at a smaller scale, it's really hard, unless you invest ahead of the curve, which can, you know, be a little scary, to get those type of team members in there that can help you grow.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, the person that you can feel good about allocating those growth tasks to is going to cost you six figures a year plus. And if you're only doing $500,000 of revenue, you can't afford that person.
Yeah. So point number three or four, excuse me, spend large chunks of time focused on each business to reduce the costs of changing tasks. And this, you know, this might be more of a personal thing for me. I'm going to go ahead and maybe preach a little bit here, given my personal preferences. Bill, it'll be interesting to hear if you do this. But like right now, I've spent the last like 3 months and will spend the next 2 months primarily focused on this big redesign that we're working on. Like that's what, you know, there's little things that I have to do, you know, on a monthly basis, on a scheduled basis, but my discretionary time, I'm really focusing on that. And then once we get that up and running and launched and systemized with the new site, then I'm really planning on sitting down for the next 6 months spending all of my discretionary time on working on the e-commerce fuel private community and the blog and everything there. So I have found that's kind of, if you are going to be working on multiple things, it gives you, you can almost simulate at some point really focusing on one thing for an extended period and getting the, you know, at least the best efficiency results for changing tasks because you're not doing it as much. Do you do that, Bill, like batch projects into like multi-month periods?
You know, thinking back, I didn't really do the batching on purpose, but it actually does work out that way. I feel like my least productive days are the days where I feel like I'm playing whack-a-mole with my email, like across multiple businesses, and I have to shift gears a lot. It gives me this frazzled feeling. And I feel like my most productive days are the days when I sat down and thought deeply about one specific problem or one specific business. And that's fulfilling to me to sit down and think deeply. And it's more fun because you feel like you're making progress. And so I think in retrospect, that does happen for me. Like I'll, you know, my girlfriend will ask me, what'd you do today? And I've said, you know, well, I focused on ski bomb all day today. You know, this was a ski bomb day that I did. And I think that's good because it allows you to kind of get down the rabbit hole on a business and absorb yourself in it. But if you're changing tasks every hour, I think it's really tough.
Yeah, it's insanely difficult. So I think this all begs the question, Bill, like I run multiple businesses, you run multiple businesses. We just got done talking about why it's so difficult to run multiple businesses. So why, let's both weigh in, like why are you doing it given all of the downsides?
I think this is like one of those things. I think it's sort of like drinking alcohol. Like is drinking alcohol bad for you? Yes. Is drinking alcohol something that everyone is going to do? Yes. I think You know, I think like running multiple businesses is kind of one of those temptations that is just really hard to resist if you're an entrepreneur. Do I think it is a bad strategy? Yes, definitely. Do I think it that 2 + 2 = 3 in this case? Yes, definitely. Do I do this all day, every day? Yes, I'm totally guilty. But that being said, I mean, I think I'm a fairly high functioning entrepreneur and I juggle this pretty well. And even looking at myself, I go, this is not optimal. And I have been sort of fighting the battle over the last year to try to trim down some of the external things I've been doing. You know, the multiple balls I'm juggling, I've been failing dramatically. So if anyone would like to buy any of the businesses they own, please come buy them from me. Because I need to get rid of them so I can focus.
Fire sale prices, Bill?
Maybe. But yeah, I think it's like, I don't think you can tell people not to do it, but I don't think people are not going to do it. I know how entrepreneurs are.
Yeah, you know? No, I hear I'm in the same boat, and it's just so tempting, you know, the classic entrepreneurial ADD, so to speak. And for myself, like, you know, running between the e-commerce, the business side, and then kind of the community side and the blog side for e-commerce fuel, I think part of it is because for me, I think it definitely is also about that entrepreneurial ADD as well, and just really enjoying seeing something else that you feel like you want to be doing and it has a lot of potential. And on my side, this might be delusional. I might be completely talking myself into this, but some things I see is, hey, this business is going to need a while to scale up, not necessarily in terms of people or process, but just in terms of getting name recognition, like building market share, like the forum, for example. A community just takes a while to grow. And so even thinking that, hey, yeah, it might not be optimal to start this when I'm still running you know, other e-commerce businesses or businesses, you planting that seed early, so to speak, gives it, you know, a time to germinate where you can kind of, otherwise it would extend your runway. And then also, you know, I think a lot of times looking at if you have a high degree of expertise in something, or you feel like you do, and you feel like you can leverage that into a second business, I'd say I wouldn't say in all cases, but in some cases, if you look at it carefully, you know, the benefits you'll receive from being able to leverage that expertise into that second business may outweigh the costs of not focusing on a primary business. You know, because if you can build something new that just yields a lot more than your current thing, then it might be not a bad decision in the long run.
I'll make the devil's advocate to both points. just because that's what we do here, right?
Yep.
So at first you said that maybe I'll just start early because it's going to take a while to ramp.
Right.
And so I might as well start now. I think, and I've felt this way too, I think the huge thing that everybody that thinks that way is underestimating is that it will still require just as much work. So what'll happen is you'll start this thing that you think takes a while to ramp, but in order to get it to ramp, you're going to have to put in even more work when it's not delivering any revenue at all. So you're going to be giving it a disproportionate amount of work for the amount of revenue that it's bringing in. And it's going to suck. It's going to be a 50-50 split with your current business, even though your current business is 99% of the revenue. Because if you don't give it that time, it won't grow to the point. It's like a catch-22. If you don't allocate the time, it will never grow to the point where it deserves to be allocated the time.
Yeah, good point. Agreed.
That's been my experience, especially starting this software business, Order Circle, right now. It needs full attention, you know, in order to, and it's going to ramp and it is ramping dramatically, but it requires a full allocation of my time, not like I'll just kind of kick it around when I have some free time.
Yeah, no, and I agree. And from that perspective, you know, it's, I think that's the rationale that I think we tell ourselves and that I tell myself, but I think you're right. I think when it comes down to it, it's not like planting a seed and watering it, you know, for 5 minutes a day and walking away. You know, these aren't plants that grow on their own. You got to be in there, you know, arm deep in the dirt, really making it happen. So, although, what do you think about the second one though? Let's say, like we were talking about this before, you know, with the redesign that I'm doing, that I get these ancillary benefits, like, right, I can do this big redesign for Right Channel. And yeah, it's a huge investment, but I also see these extra benefits for being able to create a great case study for the e-commerce fuel blog. And it can help be a marketing piece to raise the brand there. So I think that one, I think you can also make a strong argument, which I'm sure you're going to here in a minute, that it's not ideal, but I think that one might have a little more merit than the first one.
Sure. I was not going to refute that one so much as caveat it. You have to make sure that the synergy you think you see is real. And I'll give an example. So I make a lot of skincare products. I might say, oh yeah, I am going to start a business selling essential oils. But, and that seems related and it's a field I know a lot about, but really starting a business doing essential oils is going to require just as much ramp because I've got to create a new brand. I've got to create, you know, find customers for that brand. I got to build out AdWords, got to build out a website, got to do all that stuff. And yeah, it might go faster for me than it would for someone from a cold start, but that doesn't mean it's going to go fast enough to justify the amount of time it's going to take me away from my business. So I would say really some of the only like, or one of the only, and if you have other ones, I'd be interested. One of the only things that I think is a real synergy that that should make you go, I know a lot about this. This is kind of easy money because it's related to my existing business, is if you're selling to the same customers. If you've got, you know, 20,000 customers who are buying widget A and you go, oh, well, I realize they're also buying widget B from someone else to use with my widget A. Starting a business selling widget B probably makes a lot of sense to those same customers because you instantly have 20,000 built-in customers you can market to and sell to. And so you're going to ramp that revenue really fast. But if you're like, oh, these 20,000 people might also be interested in this other thing, I think it's a little bit more dubious. So make sure if you're going to rationalize it that way, that you know you have real revenue synergy that you can start quickly.
Here's another one to throw out there. What about if you've outgrown your market? Let's say for the case, you know, just an example, you sell high-end avocado peelers, you know, and you've got, okay, the best one on the market and you own Google for the term and you just have maxed out that market. It's automated. It's good to go. You have to spend maybe, you know, 5 hours a month on a few things. At that point, I mean, the returns from going into something else where you have more upper room to grow are going to be enormous, whether you might spend 40 hours, 50, 60 hours a week trying to optimize that business, but squeaking out barely any additional returns from it.
I would say in that case, the easier sledding would probably be to start a business selling avocado mashers or guacamole bowls rather than kitchen knives.
So you wouldn't go out and, I guess it depends on the business too, for example, but you, instead of starting something from scratch, you would almost always want to keep some kind of relationship between those businesses. You wouldn't want to go out and start a car business, for example.
I just think it's more optimal, right? Because if you went out and started a car business, you know, think of all the work you'd have to do versus if you started an avocado or a guacamole bowl business, you just instantly email everyone who's bought an avocado peeler from you and go, hey, we have these guacamole bowls now. And they'll all start buying them. And think how much work it would take to get that same level of revenue in something else.
Yeah, no, good point.
And you also would have to divide your cognitive load. You're still thinking about avocados with guacamole bowls, right? So there's so much less incremental cognitive load.
Yeah. What about, and again, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, just all over the place, hope you don't mind, but what if you get a screaming deal on a business? You're listening to this podcast and there's an entrepreneur who has way too many businesses. He offered to sell them at discount fire sale prices. And you call him up and, you know, the guy named Bill offers to sell it like, you know, 1x earnings. And it's too good of a deal to pass up. Do you turn it down because it's going to split your focus?
I think this depends on you. It depends on your use case or your situation. But I think, and this is one of the hardest things for me and any entrepreneur, is to learn to tell yourself no. Because it's not just everybody goes, oh, you have to learn to say no. But what you really have to do is learn to deny yourself. Because it's not really saying no to someone else. It's saying no to yourself. It's something that you want. And you can rationalize all these different reasons why it's a good idea. And, you know, you'll lie to yourself and try to trick yourself into doing it, but you have to learn to deny yourself and to say no to you, even if there are lots of compelling reasons for doing it. And it's so hard.
I think I'm going to start looking for insanely good business deals and even make some up and just send them across, you know, just lob them, softball them over to your email inbox every week.
See. That's like the most evil thing you could do to me.
Wonderful. I've got a new hobby for 2015. This will be great. Bill, I love the topic, man. Thank you you did a wonderfully effective job of dismantling about half my points there, which is why I love talking to you on the podcast. So thanks so much for coming on. And yeah, man, looking forward to talking next time.
Sure thing.
That's going to do it for this week. But if you're interested in launching your own e-commerce store, download my free 55-page ebook on niche selection and getting started. And if you're a bit more experienced, look into the E-Commerce Fuel Private Forum. It's a vetted community for store owners with at least 4,000 in monthly sales or industry professionals with at least a year or more experience in the e-commerce space. You can learn more about both the ebook and the forum at ecommercefuel.com. Thanks so much for listening, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.